This week, it's felt like not mishaps necessarily, but my brain feels like it doesn't want to work right with the rest of my body sometimes. I do have a wonderful praise. I'll just start there. But if you want to turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 is where I'll be tonight. But yeah, I'll just start out with a wonderful praise of, I got a little scare, I had to start Monday morning, and the van had ultimately found out it was the battery that was bad, and so I go to take the motorcycle, and I forgot that I broke the rule, that I knew something. I didn't share this with you, Eli, but when I went back and re-examined the crime scene, what happened is the garage door is open, and there's stuff around, and you normally start them in neutral. And I did. Well, then it died right when I got ready to take off, and I went to start it in first gear. Something happened there on the way, and I don't know if it's a glitch or if I didn't have the clutch all the way in, and it decided to take me out of the garage. And I wasn't ready. And I ran into things and banged up my knee. It swelled up big, and I was just like, I get up, and I'm just like, and Steve, I never went down. I was able to grab a hold of everything and finally shut it off, and I was like, okay, that scares me. And I just went in and told my wife, my knee really hurts. Would you give me a ride to work? So I was glad that I was not hurt worse, and I forgot that that was a rule. It had happened probably 6 years ago, and I knew there was something about it in first gear that it would lurch. So praise to God that I didn't get hurt worse, and I'm here. I thought, I could have gone into work and said, gee, Eli, Steve, can you bail me out? So, all right, tonight we'll be in Galatians chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 1, and we'll go ahead and end up reading on to verse 13. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God Most High, we thank you for this time that we can come in your house and that we can open your word and expound upon it. Lord, we thank you that we can have our souls refreshed. But Lord, we look to you now and ask that you would help us and teach us through your word. Help us to be students of your word, always wanting to grow more like you and to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with you. Guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. I'm sorry, I have to get a little closer. My eyes, and it's actually a note I wrote by hand. My wife has gone ahead, and she said she was ready to give up last night because she can't figure out the new printer. So all my handwritten stuff, So he's writing to this in the Galatian region, which is modern-day Turkey. So the false teachers, they claimed that keeping the law was necessary for salvation. So Paul uses Abraham as proof that there was never, has been, a way of salvation other than by grace through faith. So when the Philippian jailer asked, what must he do to be saved? The Apostle Paul got right to the point when he answered in Acts 16, verse 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. So salvation is appropriated by faith. So that faith is personal, it's eternal, internal and spiritual, having nothing to do with ceremonies, rituals, good works, or external things. So faith in God has always been the required response to God's grace that brings salvation. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So the saints of the Old Testament, they were saved by faith, just as the saints of the New Testament are saved by faith. So after showing the Galatian believers that the first part of chapter 3, that from their own experience they were justified by faith and not by works, he then defends justification by faith using scriptures. Look at verse 10 again. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So the Judaizers strongly advocated the necessity of keeping the Mosaic law in order to be saved. And one of those things was for the men to be circumcised, even after salvation and such. And so they were saying, you got to keep the Mosaic law and also to be saved. But if they would have checked the history of the Old Testament, they would have realized foolishness in their belief. Abraham was declared righteous, and I have always loved this, 14 years before he was commanded to be circumcised. So that in and of itself should have ended that, but it didn't. But more than 500 years before God revealed the law to Moses. So Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and numerous other Hebrews lived and died before the written law was given by God. So the ancient rabbis, if you've ever heard this, this one has always kind of cracked me up. They were so convinced that you earned salvation by keeping the law that they tried to prove that God had somehow, that he had revealed his law to the saints before Moses and that they found favor with God because they kept the law. Even that much, that there was a group that they wanted it that way. It's like, well, that's why. And as you know, that it's not from the heart, it's the external keeping of the law. So Paul says, don't you realize that as many as are of the works of the law, they're under the curse? They had forgotten Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them, and all the people shall say amen. So Paul tells them that everyone is cursed who does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law and to do them. So a curse is a divine judgment that brings the sentence of condemnation. So he says all this, but they continued. Paul's emphasis in the quotation was on the requirement to continue in all things. So in other words, those who believe that salvation comes through keeping of the law, they are obligated to keep all things in the law without exception. This places them under the curse because no one has that ability, as you know. We cannot keep the law perfectly. So Paul confessed his own inability to keep the law before he was, even when he was a devout Pharisee, in Romans 7, verse 10. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Even as a true believer, Paul still struggled with keeping the commandments. Romans 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. If any believer insists on living by the law, it will curse them and not save them because they can't live up to it. Just can't. So the legalistic Jews, they had zeal for God, but without knowledge of the scriptures. Romans 10, verses 2 through 4. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. What they didn't realize is that they placed themselves under God's wrath. They thought that they would look pious. They would look wonderful. We're trying to keep the law. That's how you do. That's how you gain salvation. But instead, they end up going ahead and placing themselves under his wrath instead of under his blessing. Because, again, they couldn't live up to it, and they didn't submit to his grace. They didn't ask him and say, Lord, I can't do this. And finally realize, wait a minute, all this baggage, all this tithing of mint and everything else, this... Wait, we can't do this at all. Excuse me. So, verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So then in verse 11, Paul reminds the readers again concerning the way of justification. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So, this time, Paul quotes from Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So the passage from Deuteronomy proves justification cannot be by the law. And the passage that I just read from Habakkuk proves it must be by faith. To live by the law is to live by self-effort, self-will. It leads to failure and condemnation. So to live by faith is to respond to God's grace and leads to justification and eternal life in heaven. Verse 12. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. So Paul again, he turns to scripture in verse 12 to show the Judaizers that works and salvation by faith are not the same. Leviticus 18, verse 5. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. He says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. So the danger of trying to live by the law is you have to be perfect. And as I told you, sometimes my brain feels like it's a little out of sorts this week. So I really, perfection is not in the picture. But those that would think that they could show, that they thought they could be perfect and obey the law perfectly, again, they were foolish. Perfection allows no exception, no failures. James 2, verse 10, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." So salvation is by faith. Romans 3, verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Verse 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" So, in verse 13, Paul turns to a positive note. And he's reminding these Jewish believers that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As you may have heard before, the word redeemed is commonly used among buying back a slave's freedom. Christ justifies those who believe in him by buying them back from their slavery to sin. So Christ is the perfect sacrifice to redeem us. 1 Peter 1, verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Christ took the curse of the law upon himself as a substitute for us as sinners and became a curse for us in his death on the cross. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, "His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the Lord which defile the land which the Lord your God is giving to you as an inheritance, for he who is hanged is accursed of God." So in ancient Judaism, a criminal who was executed was then tied to a post or a type of tree, where their body would hang until sunset. As to them, it was a visible reminder of the rejection of God. God had cursed him. God had rejected him, whether it was true or not. But they would end up doing so as a reminder of the rejection by God. Jesus did not become a curse because he was crucified, but was crucified because he was cursed in taking the full sin of the world upon himself. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So this truth was extremely hard for most Jews to accept. They couldn't imagine their Messiah being cursed by God and having to hang on a tree. I thought a lot of times over the years. In 2010, I went with a group with Answers in Genesis, and a Jewish lady walked up to me, but it was immediately cut short when she said, "Is this about the gospel of Jesus Christ?" And I smiled and went, "Yes." And she goes, "No, thank you. I'm a Jew." I was like, "Oh." Over the years, I've always thought, I wish I could talk to you. Why such a resistance? Some of it I've heard. I've heard others over the years, but that always stuck with me. But they couldn't imagine a Messiah being cursed by God and having to hang on a tree. That, as many of you know, that wasn't what they wanted. They wanted a conquering. They wanted to crush Rome. So it's always stuck with me. Modern day Jews still rejecting the Messiah. So in 1 Corinthians, it suggests that Jesus is accursed, a common saying of unbelieving Jews of that day. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." To them, Jesus' crucifixion was final. It was absolute. It was absolute proof that he was not the promised Messiah. He didn't do what they had thought he should do. Because God sent his Son to bear the penalty for man's sin,
Every person who puts their trust in Christ has had the curse born for them. So in summary, we have learned that salvation is by faith alone and not by keeping the law. We are to live by faith. Then finally, we are reminded that Christ redeems all of his people from the curse of the law, having become a curse for them. If you know Christ as your Savior, praise him and thank him every day you live. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I urge you to seek salvation in him and him alone. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God Most High, we thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for the clear teaching of your word. Help us all to put our faith and trust in you and live a life of godliness. May we look to you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.